Greetings, everybody, and welcome to episode 43 of the Pixel Power Podcast. I'm your host, Steven, and today is part two in learning how to use the If This Then That service, or IFT, with your Google devices. Specifically today, we're going to be taking a look at using IFT with the Google Assistant. You know, that assistant that's built into our phones, our tablets, and our hubs. How can we make use of IFT to provide even more functionality to these devices? Now, this is part two of a three-part series. The first part, or part one, was the last episode where we learned how to use IFT on the Pixel or Android phone. So you probably want to go back and take a listen to that episode to get an idea of what the IFT services can provide for your devices. In our next episode, we're going to be taking a look at using IFT with G Suite applications, and we'll get a little preview of that today when we talk about the applets you can create using the IFT Google Assistant triggers. Before we begin this episode, though, on talking about how to use a Google Assistant with the IFT services, just a quick little reminder about what If This Then That is. You have to remember from our last episode that it is a cloud service, and it's used to automate actions on various devices. It works beyond just Android devices or Google devices. It'll work across all smart platforms, not all of them, but a large majority of them. And what we do is we create applets from various services. The great thing about it is it is free to consumers, so you can use the service for free. You can use it in your browser or with the app that you can find in the Google Play Store. The only drawback is the lack of complex applets, as we talked about last episode. It is called If This Then That for a reason. It is not If This Then That and That, so you're only going to get an If This Then That action. And then, as I mentioned before, it is available with so many smart devices and services, I think you'll be amazed. So make sure and go back to our previous episode where we talk about how to view all the various services that are available with the If This Then That service. In our last episode, when we talked about using the IFT services with the Android phone, we learned that there were both triggers and actions. For using the IFT services with the Google Assistant, what you're going to find is that there are only four triggers. You only use IFT to trigger the Google Assistant to do something else. We can't, unfortunately, use another service to trigger Google Assistant to perform an action. So we'll be looking at simply four specific triggers that affect the Google Assistant. And then we'll talk about how to use those triggers to perform specific actions on other services. So trigger number one is a simple trigger. It is simply say a simple phrase. And I've said simply way too many times. Anyway, trigger one, say a simple phrase. This trigger fires when you say, "Hey Assistant," followed by a phrase you choose. For example, you could say, "Hey Assistant, I'm running late," and you could send a text to a family member that you're on your way home. Now, you cannot do that natively with the Google Assistant, but by triggering an IFT action, you can do that by stringing together those triggers and actions to form applets. So that is one trigger. Trigger number two is say a phrase with a number. Now, this is interesting because what you can do is, just like to the trigger one where you say a simple phrase, you add a number to the trigger. So for instance, you could say, "Hey Assistant, set a thermostat to 68 degrees. Maybe you have an unsupported thermostat that is not, doesn't have the Google Assistant built in, but with IFT, you could tie those two services together, and then you could set that thermostat to 68 degrees. Now, in that trigger, you're going to have a variable, and that variable will be that number variable. So when you say set thermostat to 68, when you create that applet in place of the 68, you will use a variable symbol, and all of that is outlined in the If This Then That applet wizards as you create your applet. So it's very easy to do. Trigger three is say a phrase with a text ingredient. This is one I use a lot, and I'm going to talk about that here in just a minute. But this one fires when you say, "Hey Assistant," and then you follow it by a phrase like, "Post a tweet saying, hey, I got a new high score on this game." And that is not something that you can do with the Google Assistant. You can't tweet using the Google Assistant, but with the IFT service, you can do that. And much like the say a phrase with a number, the say a phrase with a text ingredient will also include a variable that will be replaced with the text that you say. And the final trigger that we have is say a phrase with both a number and a text ingredient. So this becomes quite interesting, and you can create some complicated triggers. For instance, on this one, you would say, "Okay, Assistant," followed by a phrase like, "Block time for exercise at 6 o'clock. So the block time for would be the phrase that you would say. Exercise would be the text ingredient. And then the 6 p.m. would be a number ingredient. So that one is going to have two variables. So that makes the trigger a little more complicated or complex, not complicated, just more complex so that you can have further actions. So those are the only four triggers that are available for the Google Assistant in IFTT, but there are lots of really cool things that you can do with those. First of all, I want to take a look at or share with you the applets that I have created. These are very simple applets that I've done to help my workflow. And so the first applet I have created is one that creates a Todoist task when I say, hey, assistant, book idea, and then a string of text afterwards. So I could say, hey, assistant, book idea, Joe kills Susan. So then what would happen is the Google Assistant would take that phrase I just said and throw that into a Todoist project. So you can create a lot of those if you're a Todoist user to put specific things in specific projects. The other one I have specifically for this podcast is I have created a Google Assistant if trigger that when I say, hey, assistant, podcast idea, remember to create a podcast about if this, then that. That will be created as an item in my Pixel Power Podcast Projects area in Todoist. So those two both use Todoist to capture information when I talk to the Google Assistant. There is a Todoist assistant feature built into Google Assistant. However, it's not easy to use, and you have to do this weird thing where you say, hey, assistant, talk to Todoist, and you go through this whole rigmarole about how to create tasks. So using the if this then that service, I can simply create a task, put it in a project area, and be done and out without going through that whole project flow. The other IFTT applet I've created is one that helps me find my phone. So what I can say is, hey, assistant, find my phone. Then it will ring my phone and hopefully I can locate it and it is in the home somewhere. So those are just three applets that I have created on my own. I did take some time to look at the community applets, and what I found was a whole wonderful selection of IFTT applets that you can use with your Google Assistant to do many things. I will say I've not used all of these. I am going to start using some of them because while researching, I found that some of these are really useful and look like a lot of fun. So let me go ahead and talk about the various applets I found in the IFTT community that you can use with the Google Assistant. So the first one I have is you can set scenes with Philips Hue. I will tell you that I am purging Philips Hue from my smart home. Slowly but surely, I'm going to get the Philips Hues out of there. But if you're a big user of Philips Hue, you can set specific scenes using IFTT with your Google Assistant. You can also shut down or restart a computer using the Assistant Computer Control application that's available online. You can send a text message from a phone telling someone you're running late. Currently, which is really surprising to me, is you cannot send a text message using Google Assistant from like your home hub at home. However, by creating this IFTT applet, then you can do that. You can also add a contact to Google Contacts. Again, something else that's not available in the Google Assistant in the home hub, or I don't think that's available in the Pixel phone either. You can silence your phone. You can turn on a Samsung TV. And I say specifically a Samsung TV because you can connect the IFTT service to Samsung's services and turn that TV on and off. You can't just attach the Google Assistant within the Google Home app to the Samsung services. So that's another way that you can use IFTT to tie a couple of services together. You can add songs to a Spotify playlist. You can log notes in a Google Sheet. We'll talk more about using IFTT with the G Suite apps in our next episode. But if you just wanted to capture a quick note and log it into a Google Sheet, you can do that. And within Google Sheets, you would have all these notes captured. As I mentioned earlier, you can tweet using the Google Assistant. You can send an address to your phone and then start navigation. That's pretty cool. So you can say, hey, assistant, I want to go here. And then it goes to your phone, loads up the navigation, and you're ready to roll. You can control a Sonos device with the IFTT services. And you can create, if you are not a Todoist user, maybe you're a Trello user and Trello uses cards, you can create a new Trello card with an IFTT applet. And then the last one I selected, if you are a Facebook Messenger user, you can now with IFTT services send a message via a Facebook Messenger. So how do you find all of these applets? It's very simple. If you go to my show notes, you can see the applets that I listed, do a search for those in the IFT community, and those will pop up. And they've probably been created by somebody else. You can add them to your own list of applets. You can modify them to your own specifications, and then you can start to use them. So that's how you can tie IFT services to your Google Assistant. I would again encourage you to go and explore the many applets that are created. Try to create applets on your own. And then maybe think about the last episode, how we used applets on our Android phone, and see if you could combine the two to do even more. So as I mentioned, in our next episode, we will be looking at the IFT services as it relates to our G Suite app, so Google Docs, Google Sheets, Google Slides, see how to use that. And if you have an IFT routine that you should share with me so that I can share with everyone else, or think I've forgotten one that's really kind of cool or one that I should take notice of, you can send that to me via email at steven@pixelpowerpodcast.com. And of course, you can go to the Pixel Power Podcast subreddit, where you can reply to this episode's post with your favorite IFT applets for the Google Assistant. So that completes this episode on using IFT with our Google Assistant. And now, as we do in every episode, we're going to enter the addendum segment, where I talk about living a Pixel-powered life with our Google Assisted devices. Okay, and first in the addendum, I want to talk about the Lenovo Yoga Smart Tab with Google Assistant. I have one of these devices now, and I've been wanting to purge my life of iOS devices, namely my iPad. It was the last device I had that was running on an Apple iOS platform, and I wanted to see if I could live without that device. Let's face it, the iPad is a wonderful tablet, but I wanted an Android tablet. And I wanted an Android tablet because I wanted the similar experience that I have on my Pixel phone in a tablet form factor. And I want the tools to be the same. I do notice when I go back and forth between an iOS device and an Android phone, for instance, or the Pixel phone, I do get confused. And I would like to have the similar experience. The problem is it's hard to find a good Android tablet. I searched, I researched, I looked some more. I finally landed on the Lenovo Yoga Smart Tab with Google Assistant because, first of all, I found it for about $229. It is an HD display. It does include 64 gigabytes of storage. It does have 4 gigabytes of RAM, which was a minimum for me. I am not going to try and run a device with only 2 gigabytes of system memory because the user experience would be slow and maddening, I am sure. And plus, when you're multitasking several applications, you need that extra headspace for that. So I've only had it a week, maybe 9 days at the most. I did do a quick article on my blog at stephencombs.com, link in the show notes under the addendum segment. I also decided to do a little unboxing video. There's not a lot of information about this tablet. And one of the things I really liked about it is, again, is it had this focus on the Google Assistant. They also have a version that uses Alexa in the device. And of course, I don't have any more Echo devices in my home, so this is perfect. The other thing that the Lenovo Yoga Smart Tab does that I think is brilliant is when you plug it in, it does have a little tip-out stand, as you'll learn a little bit later when I do a full review of this tablet. And then when you set it up in stand mode, it becomes like a Google Home Hub. So it does have far-field microphones and a lot of other things built into it that make it a nice Google Home Hub. So this is not a full review. I will probably do a full review. I may actually do a full episode of the Pixel Power Podcast on this. I will probably also do a video that features the tablet a little bit later. But again, if you'd like to see the article and you'd like to see the unboxing video, check out the addendum show notes in this episode, which is episode 0043. And you can see both the information about why I bought it, what my quick cursory thoughts are, and then again, watch me unbox the thing and see it start up. In talking about my blog over at stephencombs.com, I did take some time over the last week to add a new theme. It's similar to the old look, but it is a much better experience when you're reading across devices. I'm actually using the same or similar theme that I use for the Pixel Power Podcast site. So there's they kind of co-brand a little bit nicer together. I'm still using Atom and GitHub Pages to host both of the sites. But you'll also see that one of my most recent posts is where I talk about all of the devices that I throw into my travel bag when I travel. And the Pixel Slate is, of course, featured. So if you'd like to take a look at that and see all the different devices that go in a bag that help me support my Pixel Slate when I'm traveling, including an external monitor that I use, a mouse that matches the Pixel Slate perfectly, go on over to stephencombs.com and look at that, or check out the link in the show notes. Something that wasn't included in the travel bag that I just purchased was a RAV Power Travel File Hub. I'm going to be just doing some traveling in the future. And this RAV Power Travel File Hub and router is a device that will let me connect to a, for instance, hotel Wi-Fi using their captured login screen. And then it acts as a bridge, and then it will let me use that one connection to that hotel network for any devices in my room. So I'm not limited. If a hotel says you can only have two devices connected at a time, this will take care of that. It also helps you if you are in a situation where you're purchasing the high-speed bandwidth, you do it once for one device instead of two for two devices. Now, I'm a Marriott Reward, so I get free Wi-Fi wherever I go when I stay at those properties, but I am looking forward to trying this. And what's really nice is you can set that up at home, give it a SSID. I've chosen for this one Baby Yoda. I know, geeky, right? So if you're out and about and you see a Wi-Fi access point that's called Baby Yoda, it's probably me and 5,000 or other Star Wars fans, okay? But what I can do is set that up, connect all the devices while I'm home, and then when I go to the hotel, simply connect to the hotel Wi-Fi. And since I've already connected to the router before, to the Baby Yoda SSID, all my devices will just auto magically, as we say, connect. So I'm looking forward to trying it. I have not tried it out beyond the home. We'll see how well it connects to the Wi-Fi. I do have a link in the show notes. If you're interested, you might want to wait before you purchase it to see what my experience is, though. I also want to go on and rant a little bit, not a rant, but a rave about a Markdown application for Android. If you are writing or blogging on the go, I'm sure I've mentioned this app before, but IA Writer is a wonderful Markdown writing tool, or just a great tool to capture notes if you want to do that. But if you're doing a long form writing, it's great on the Android phone, on my Pixel phone. I love it. I pull it up. I can be working on a blog post. I can be working on show notes for the Pixel Power podcast. It's all in Markdown. It works well. It syncs with Google Drive. So when I get to my computer, all of those long form articles that I'm working on or files or notes are synced in Google Drive so I can get to them on any device. Highly recommend it. It's really interesting because IA Writer on the iOS platform, it is a paid app, but for whatever reason on Android, it is free. I would pay for this app if they asked me to. It is that good. So again, if you're looking for a good Markdown app for Android, highly recommend IA Writer. I'm purging all Wemos smart switches from my home. I have done that. They are all gone. If you are a Wemo user, you may have noticed, or maybe you didn't notice, but I have noticed, especially with older Wemo devices, that we're having problems with our Google Assistant. I've never been happy with Wemo. I've always thought they were hard to set up, hard to maintain. The firmware updates are slow on them. I'm worried about security. I've decided to purge those, and I've replaced every Wemo smart switch we had in the home with Wyze smart plugs. Security-wise, I don't know. I'm assuming that Wyze is going to be at least as good as Wemo. I have been very pleased, as you know, if you listen to the Pixel Power podcast, with Wyze cams. I've already tried some Wyze plugs, and I have some Wyze lights in my house. I'm trying to get down that number of applications we have to maintain a smart home. Every time you buy a device from another manufacturer, you have another application you've got to have on your Pixel phone. And I'm tired of that. I'm trying to narrow that down, which is another reason you heard me earlier say I'm trying to purge Philips Hue from our devices in our home. That is twofold. First of all, I don't want that app. And then secondly, I'm trying to get rid of all these Zigbee devices and go to Wi-Fi only devices so that I don't have to maintain for instance, a Philips Hue hub as well as another hub, which is in the house for other devices. So they're gone. Wemo is gone. It's out. I'm all into the Wyze smart plug option. However, I will say, finally in the addendum, I want to talk about something that has been kind of interesting. Is I've been looking around Amazon for other smart devices, specifically smart plugs. Over the holidays, I was looking for something for the outdoors, and Wemo nor Wyze made a really good outdoor weatherproof smart plug. Well, there was a Chinese company in Amazon. There's a bunch of Chinese companies in Amazon that sell these things, but I found a VAVOFO outdoor three socket smart plug. It was weatherproof, which I really liked. It was great for the holidays. It was $27. And so $27 for three sockets that plug into a single port outside seemed pretty good. It was very easy to set up, but it set up using an application on the Google Play Store called Smart Life. And what I've noticed is a lot of these Chinese third-party Wi-Fi groups use their own applications, but some of them, there must be some kind of consortium where a lot of them are using the Smart Life app. So you can get these different brands of smart devices, but they're all using the Smart Life app. And I've got a link to that app in the show notes. And what I found is this is actually a really good app. It works well. And so what I've done is when I look for smart devices in order to kind of, you know, again, keep that number of apps off of my Pixel phone down, I search Amazon for Smart Life and then what I'm looking for. And that almost always ensures I get a listing of devices that work with this Smart Life application on my Pixel phone. So it's really working out well for me. I mentioned I was getting rid of Philips Hue. And one of the things I replaced some of those Philips Hue lights with, I had bought four Avatar Control indoor LED full color bulbs. I got four of them. You ready? $35. So when you compare that to Philips Hue, it's a much cheaper alternative. I have an app. I don't have to have a hub, which is nice because these are Wi-Fi. So a link in the show notes to those. I probably will continue to expand those. And I found some floodlights that I'll probably be looking at a little bit later on down the road to replace some floods that we have like in our kitchen and outdoor and in our bedroom. So probably gonna look at those. And then finally, I mentioned the Smart Life app because over the Valentine's, I decided to buy my wife a fish tank heater. She has a fish tank pump on it, as well as a light. And I was looking for a way to control all three of those. And I found an AH Rise 6 outlet, three of those are controlled, three are always on, with four USB charging ports. This thing was only $20. I was amazed. So I got three controlled outlets, three uncontrolled outlets, four USB charging ports, plugs into a single wall outlet, $20. And guess what? It works on the Smart Life device app and it is all working well. So that's what's kind of going on in my Pixel powered life. I hope you enjoyed today's show and talking about if this, then that with our Google Assistant. I hope you enjoyed some of the addendum items. Love to hear from you. Love to know what you enjoy about the show, what I should change, what could be better. And you can send me feedback at steven@pixelpowerpodcast.com. There is a link in the show notes where you can leave a voice message. I would love for you to do that. All you do is simply click the link and then record. And if you're on your phone, you can record it right on your phone and send it to me. You can also join us over at the subreddit, the Pixel Power Podcast subreddit. Be sure and do that. And then finally, if you are tweeting, feel free to tweet something and tweet it to me with a hashtag Pixel Power Podcast. And guess what? I have an if this then that that looks for the hashtag Pixel Power Podcast on Twitter. And when it does, it captures it into a Google Docs. And we'll talk more about that next week. So thanks for joining me in episode 43 of the Pixel Power Podcast. And I look forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks.